goodness of God tonight. I'd like to close our service this evening when I'm done with the teaching. And we're going to gather around the altar and pray for Sister Sharon and the family with the homegoing of Brother Howard. And Brother Shane run a picture off tonight. He is with us over in the prayer room. So we're going to miss him in the prayer room. He always had something to say. And I'm thankful God will give you something to say. It's so good to see you here tonight. Remember Brother Jody Harrison's dad, Brother Claudie. He's had a heart attack, and he'll be going in for a procedure tomorrow. Remember them. I know they'd appreciate it. Young family in our church has asked that we'd pray for them and their family, an unspoken request, and God knows all about them. And so Miss Sharon and them will be setting the arrangements in the morning at 10. We'll be sending out information about the services, and it's looking like right now we'll be here Sunday at 3 o'clock, the service, and then the viewing at Martin Hightower Carrollton Saturday. But they will confirm everything tomorrow, and we'll send everything out formally in an email and a Facebook tomorrow. Okay, men's fellowship is tomorrow night. We've got a lot of sausage and bacon and eggs to cook, and hope you'll bring somebody with you. And you'll be praying for that. Brother Ricky Bias, one of our friends out of Dallas, Georgia, been pastoring many years. He'll be there preaching for us. And Brother Connor, he's one of them seasoned men. Amen. But he'll be a blessing to us. And so I trust that you'll be praying for that. Okay, it is our winter break here in the county, and many kids are gone. And so they didn't feed children tonight. But we are having class tonight. Brother Jerry, he said, yeah, okay, well, let's get them out of here and get them gone. All right, we're running late. Y'all go ahead, children. Go to your classes tonight. And we'll be done by 8 o'clock, Lord willing. And you can get with your mom and dads, okay? All right, church, if you have a Bible this evening, turn with us over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. So good to see you out on church on Thursday night. Wasn't that good singing? I like that. Glad he's brought us in the choir. You say, well, preacher, I don't sing in the choir. Well, you can sing where you are and act like you're in the choir. He put a song in our heart. And I'm thankful not only where he's brought us out of, but what he's brought us into. We've been dealing with that thought on Wednesday night. And I'm going to close this little series tonight with the last sermon in it that I feel like that I needed to present to the church. We have a very busy week coming up. You pray for us as we go into the prisons on Monday and Tuesday and do revival there in those services. We always see God do great things. I want to make a way of mentioning any of you men that would like to go with me next year and the Lord hadn't come, then we can get your background checks sent in if you'd like to go. We go into the dormitories where the men live. We hand out gospel tracts, and then we preach at night there at the chapel. Each facility has a chapel, and it's amazing what we see God do there. And I'll be preaching at the conference where all the missionaries are in on Monday night. So if you'd pray for me, I really would appreciate that. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, then I want you to find a parallel verse that I'm going to be dealing with, marking your Bibles. I'm just going to turn in two places tonight. I'm very hesitant with... I love taking one text and preaching out of it, not having you turn many places. I know I've had to do that through this series, but tonight we're only going to go to two places. Found the book of Hebrews chapter number 12, and then 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, if you'd mark them in your Bibles. We'll be going back and forth to those two passages and then close this series tonight. So if you've not been here, we were dealing with where in the book of Deuteronomy, where God had made the statement that He's brought us out that He may break us in. And even it was said tonight about Brother Howard and his testimonies, always thanking God for saving him. And I'm glad I got a testimony. I'm glad I've met the Lord. And I want to say something to you as your preacher tonight. Be ready to meet God. Know Jesus, His Son, as your Savior. Because we never know when we're going to meet Him. And I don't want to bring a gloom on the service. I just want to tell you, it is what it is. We're all going to die and we're going to meet God. And so we must be born again. And I want to see everybody here that's ready to meet the Lord. But we've been dealing with the fault. He's brought us out, but He's brought us into some things. My goodness, we've all got a lot of stories of what He's brought us out from. Many of us have different backgrounds, but we all have one thing in common. It was all a background of sin. I'm glad God loves those sinners. And so He brought us out of sin, but He brought us into the family of God. I'm glad I'm in the family tonight. Do you know that you are in? Then, not only did He bring us in the family, He brought us in a book. I'm glad I'm in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad it's written down yonder in glory. It'll never be lost, never be erased. It's written in heaven. I'm glad He brought us into a book. Then He brought us into a body. We are the body of Christ. So many different members, but all have one function, and that is to do the job that we're put here to do. And then we were brought into the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. Then we covered, we're in the Lord's army. Paul spoke of being a fellow soldier speaking to them. And so we are in the Lord's army. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad it's not a photo finish tonight. There are a lot of battles, but aren't you glad Jesus won the war? And so thank God we're on the winning side. Then we looked at the thought, we're in Christ Jesus, one of the greatest passages in the Bible. I can't die and go to hell because I've been placed in Christ, Brother Connor. The Spirit of God put us in, Brother Shane. Thank God I'm in Christ and He's in me. Then we were brought into the flock. Thank God we've got the great shepherd of the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, is what David said. I shall not want. Aren't you glad we've got a shepherd that's close by us in every move of life? And then we spoke about He's brought us in the choir. David said He put a new song in our heart. He's talking about in the book of Ephesians, singing psalms and spiritual songs. And my goodness, oh, how we are part of the choir. But then tonight, I want to deal with this thought. He's brought us into a race. Paul is relating the Christian life as a race. And there in those days, they would have those huge games set up in big coliseums there in Greece. And so Paul is bringing the Christian experience into a race. Look what he says in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing you also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, why did he say that? Because in Hebrews chapter number 11, it's what we refer to as the Hall of Faith chapter. There you'll find many of the great patriarchs of the faith. You'll find Abel and Enoch and Noah. You'll find Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You'll find Moses. You'll find Rahab the harlot. You'll find many of the heroes of faith, of Gideon and Samson. It's the Hall of Faith chapter. Now, Paul is saying in Hebrews 12, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, no place in the Bible can we go to and show where people are looking on us and seeing what we're doing. This is not what the Bible's explaining, this great cloud of witnesses. Some, I think Brother Steve spoke tonight in prayer room. Brother Howard, he left a cloud of witness. He magnified the Lord. And so as we finish this Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith, he says these great cloud of witnesses, those that have impacted our life, it don't mean that they're looking down on us. And a lot of people believe that. If you believe that, that's fine. But I'm going to stay with my Bible. They're great testimonies, what they left before us. And he says, let us lay aside every weight. And he says, the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Then we're going to read the parallel passage that I'd like to go to this evening. Here Paul again is writing to the church of Corinth, and he's talking about the Christian as in the race. He said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but win incorruptible. Paul says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time tonight. Lord, may we glorify Christ. May you help us in our Christian race. I pray that you'd bring the things to my mind and heart that I've tried to study and prepare for this evening. Pray you'd use us to be a blessing. I pray now you'd help the Jackson family and so many others like only you can. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for putting us in the family of God. Thank you for our church and the ministry we have. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. So the Christian race. Let's look in Hebrews 12, first of all. The Bible speaks of the participants in the race. Who's to participate in this Christian race? Here Paul, he's writing in verse 1, he says simply, let us run with patience. Who is that? It's the saved, born again by the grace of God. Let us run, the participants in this race. I'm glad I'm participating in this race with God. Running a race. So we see this participants in the race. It is us. Then he also speaks to it in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. He uses this text. Know you not that they which run in a race all but one receive the prize. So run that ye may obtain. So the participants in the race. I want to say first of all, it's personal. Every one of us, we have a race to run. It's an individual race. Nobody can run it for you. You can't run it for me. I can't run it for you. But we can cheerlead, as Brother Wallace said in the prayer room. We can send somebody a text. We can encourage them. It don't cost you much to be kind to somebody. And so certainly it is personal in this race. Let us. And then secondly, it is passionate. Notice he didn't say walk. I know it's many terms in the Bible that does, but in this particular text, in Hebrews, he said, let us run. It's passionate. We must realize that we are on the winning side. We got somebody to run for tonight. I like the way our singing went off. If we sing, let's sing. If don't, let's don't do it. Whatever we do, let's do it for the glory of God. And so here, the participants in the race, it's personal, it's passionate. He's saying, run. Put something behind it. I mean, my goodness, some Christians, you got to hold your thumb up to see if they're even moving. Somebody say amen. God wants us to be moving about the Father's business. And so the participants in this race, it's personal. It's very passionate. But then you'll notice, run with persistence. He talks about patience. We need to be persistent in our running. We don't need to just run one day and lay down the next. We need to be very persistent in what we're doing for Christ. Thank God for persistent Christians, that you can count on them. You can identify with them. They show up when there's a need. And thank God for these participants of the race. It's personal. It's passionate. We ought to run. It's persistent to have patience. But watch this. It's also planned. The Bible said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Did you know you didn't set your race before you? And I didn't set the race before me. But God has already pre-sorted our race that is out. Through the great sovereign God, He set our paths. And God knows what He's called you to do, what you need to be, where you need to be. It's no accident while we're all where we are in life tonight. God has a path set before us. If you had asked me tonight that I would have been a pastor about when I was 16 years old, I'd said, are you kidding me? Many of you, you look at where you are in your jobs, your careers, at your school, in your life. You must realize God has set you on this path. And you know, a man has responsibility. I realize he can get off that path. God don't create robots. But we all must agree, but there is a God that sets our path in order. And here he's talking about in this Christian race, he's got it set before us. My race has been very much involved at Liberty Baptist Church. It's been set in Bowling, Georgia, raised in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I never imagined that I would leave where that I was raised. But I'm going to tell you, in the participants of this path, it is planned. It's set before us. And only God can set your path. I'm glad it's a God that knows where we all need to be tonight. You say, preacher, I'm working in a place I don't want to be. I did that several years. I've even been a few grocery stores I didn't want to be. But when you look back, you realize, Brother Wallace, God had something to do with it. God goes ahead of us. And I'm glad He's got a path set. And I want to say something to y'all tonight. I'm glad that God let y'all run into my path. I'm so thankful that it wasn't no accident that we just stumbled along and met each other. But God has set us in a race. And in that path, He's allowed our lives to cross. And I thank God that He loves me that much and He can meet people like you. And I mean that with all my heart. God is so good at being God. So the Christian race, there's the participants in the race. Then secondly, look at the preparation for the race. It's found also in Hebrews 12, in verse number 1. He says, "And let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us." I'm going to make some statements right here tonight on this preparation for the race. Here Paul is talking about entanglements and the things that hinders us. Look in verse 1 of this preparation for the race. First of all, there must be a removal. Lay aside every weight. You can't run carrying things that God told you to get loose from. They will weight us all down. Laying aside every weight. Now, I wanted to do this tonight, but I didn't do it because I didn't want to clean up the mess when I got done preaching. But I thought about this. I had a friend, and several of you know many people that have lost 100 pounds or 200 pounds. Talk about this weight, these weights that hinder in the race. Now, if I was on a starting line and if I was going to try to outrun my grandson, first of all, I wouldn't even try that tonight. I'd say, son, about 40 years ago, I'd have eat you lunch. Somebody say amen. But if you take a bag of corn, you deer hunters, we feed corn to deer. If you take a 50-pound bag and set on your shoulder and you start on the finish line, you're not going to do too good carrying that weight. Then I thought about if we had two buckets full of rocks. Each one had a bucket in their hand. They tried to run this race. You don't get very far carrying things that weight us down. But aren't you glad that we serve a God tonight that you can give all these weights to? And oh my goodness, I sure am glad He can lighten the load. Paul is talking about this preparation. It must be a removal. Lay aside every weight. And then not only a removal, there must be a restraint. And I want you to look at the corresponding verse with this found in 1 Corinthians 9. I want you to look at the restraint. 1 Corinthians 9, 25, I want to explain something to you. Paul says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." What does that mean? It has to do with self-control. So run that ye may obtain. And then 25, every man that striveth for the mastery, he's temperate in all things. In other words, that self-control, there must be restraint. You know, discipline in private produces strength in public. Can I say that again tonight? Discipline in private produces strength in public. Spiritual runners, they live regulated lives. They live regulated lives. Talking about this sin that does so easily beset us, it entangles us. If we had a rope and we tied our feet together, some of you have seen horses that are hobbled. What it means, instead of tying them to something, they would take and they would fasten each foot together. Therefore, they could not move. A lot of times we have these things fastened around us in our life, and it keeps us from running the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be a removal, a laying aside. There must be a restraint, a temperance, a self-control. I want to say this, and I find it to be so true. The sins that do us so easily beset us. You see that in Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed with the great cloud of witnesses, the testimonies they've all left behind, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. What's he talking about? The sin that doeth so easily beset us. Let me read this to you. You see, those sins in which we freely indulged before we became Christians, they will likely to return with power. And we are far more likely from the laws of association to fall into those vices. In other words, the sin that I practiced before I got saved, they will come back and they will tempt me many times. That's why I like to tell young people, be careful, young people, for the doors you open, because they're very hard to get them closed. And so Paul is talking to us about the sin that entangles us. We all have weaknesses. Some things that would bother me will not bother you. Some things that will bother you and run you crazy don't bother me a bit at all. But we all must realize this. None of us have arrived, and we better not trust this flesh as far as we can throw it. And we need to watch them trigger points. If you're battling alcohol tonight, I dealt with a man one time in counseling. He said, you know, I do good till I go back where I was buying the liquor. I said, son, change your route. He said, well, that makes sense to me. Quit going by there. And so if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. We got to realize these triggers that set us off, that tempt us. And the devil knows what they are. Some of you got temper. You think you got your temper under control, and you fly off the handle all the time. So many different things that hold us back, that entangles us. And we must realize that this preparation for the race has got to be a removal, a restraint, and then there's got to be a rule in order. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said something very strong. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You know, the body is a bad master, though it may be a good servant. Isn't that so true? The body's a bad master, though it may be a good servant. In other words, we must crucify this flesh daily. And I think where the devil really gets ahead of us in life is he makes us think we're the only one that struggles with things. You're not the only one that struggles with things. And I realize, as it has to do with sanctification, there's some that live closer to the Lord than others. I realize that. The Bible teaches us to be sanctified, close to God. But I guarantee you, every one of us struggle with a sin. And I might not have named your sin tonight, but God knows what it is. And we better keep both eyes on it and stay away from it. You know, we talk about boundaries. We set up boundaries in our life. God always had boundaries. I don't know why people's always messed up about borders. God's always been for borders and boundaries. And so we have these boundaries in our life. And Brother Shane, I don't want to get too close to that boundary line. I'm afraid I'll stumble and fall over it. So I'm going to stay way away from it. And that's the best advice I know to give you tonight in order to run this Christian race. And I'm going to say something. You may be surprised how it would help you if you talk with a brother and sister about that. Confess your faults one to another. I don't think we ought to get up in public and tell everybody our faults, but it sure will do you good. You get your brother or sister in Christ and say, you know, sometimes I struggle. Well, so do I. And so do you, if you'll be honest. You say, not me, preacher. Oh, you struggle. Yeah, yeah, you struggle with you. You full of yourself. Shake your little Baptist heads up and down tonight. And so the Christian race, preparation for the race. God, may we not be entangled in the things that we don't need to be messing with. So the participants in the race, the preparation for the race. But then look at the perseverance of the race. Hebrews 12 and 1. Run with patience. Run with patience a race. Run with endurance. Run with direction. And run with determination. Not aimless, not careless, not casual, but run the race with perseverance. I thank the Lord for the people in my life that have run that race in front of me. Yeah, they've got knocked down. You ever seen some runners trip? I have. I've tripped several times. But by the grace of God, I've been able to get up and brush off, say, Lord, forgive me, and took out again. But what a lot of Baptists want to do when somebody trips the fall, they want to, boom, shoot them. Kick them on the car and back over them. We all ought to have been backed over. God's had grace and mercy on us, ain't He? I told Renee today we come in Tallapoosa doing something. I said, honey, God has showed me so much grace. I know what it was. We went by a place, talked about when we were young. I said, honey, God has showed me so much grace. And you wonder why I raised my hands when they sang Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me? Hey, let the religious people look at you like they're crazy, honey. I know where I was. I know what I've been put into. Jesus has set me free. He's put my name down yonder in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I've got somebody to glorify and magnify tonight. And I'm not letting religion put the fire out. Thank God for Jesus and His mercies and His grace. You say, preacher, are you saying it's all right to sin? No, I'm saying everybody struggles with sin. So we need to love one another and pick one another up. Thank God I'm on the winning side. So the Christian race, there's the participants, let us. There's the preparation, lay aside every weight. The perseverance, run with patience. Look now at the pattern of the race. Verse 2, this will help you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you want to set your mark to be like somebody, there's your mark. Not like me. Not like you. But like Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. You see, the pattern. He also said this. Wherefore seeing. You see this? Look in verse 12. It's a clarified. Hebrews 12, 1. Watch. Wherefore seeing. Seeing what? We see in Hebrews 11. We're compassed about. We've had so many people put in our lives through their testimonies and the Scripture. They have such a greater cloud of witness. In other words, this pattern, looking unto Jesus and realize there's been people that's run this race. thank God for the people that's run the race. For we see this cloud of witnesses. Wonder how many witnesses God's put in your life to let you see. Man, I can count so many that God's put in my life. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of them went to heaven the last 10 years. My goodness, the pattern of the race. Looking unto Jesus, you see victory, and I believe this with all my heart, victory really requires both heavenly focus and earthly discipline in order to run this race. And then lastly tonight, not only the participants of the race, let us, the preparation for the race, lay aside. The perseverance in the race, run with patience. The pattern for the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But lastly, the prize of the race. 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul alluded to that. He said, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate or in self-control in all things. Now they do it, talking about these marathon runners, these great athletes. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. The prize of the race. The world runs for temporary crowns. We run for eternal crowns. Let me give you this. I'm done preaching tonight. There are five crowns that can be obtained that's in our Bible. The crown of life. You say, preacher, when we get that crown, what are we going to do? We're going to wear it around in heaven? No, no, we're going to cast them at Jesus' feet. We're going to thank Him for what He's done for us. So this crown of life in James 1, it's for those that are devoted to Jesus, who endure those trials, who are a great cloud of witness, the crown of life. Then the incorruptible crown, 1 Corinthians 9. For those who live that disciplined life, how they ran the race. Then thirdly, the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2, for those who have directed others to Jesus, is what many authors think that is, the soul winner's crown. Then fourthly, there's the crown of righteousness. For those who've had that determined faith, they're looking for His appearing. 2 Timothy 4. And then lastly, the fifth one's the crown of glory. Many explain that to be the pastor's crown in 1 Peter 5. And tonight, you remember this, we're running for something that's going to last forever. When I get at heaven's gates, I hope I've got something to lay at Jesus' feet for all He's done for me. What He's done for every one of you, He's worthy of our praise tonight. So let us run this race together. If you see a Christian that's lagging, reach out and help them up. Cheer them on. You know, I know some of y'all can't relate to this because a lot of our hunters are out tonight. But you take a little young dog, you train him to tree. He's a little young puppy, he's at the tree, you holler, sick him, get him, hee, get him. Man, he'll start barking up that tree. Ain't nothing up there, but he's barking. What you're doing, you're agging him on, you're encouraging him. That's what we need to do with one another running this race tonight. Encourage one another. You say, well, preacher, I've sinned and messed up. Well, the Bible says if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't shoot our wounded. We help our wounded. Because it could be me or it could be you before the sun comes up in the morning. But aren't you glad we can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Keep your eyes on Him. Don't look at me. I know I'm supposed to set example. I'll try my best to, but I'm human. I'm flesh. I've got a terrible, terrible bloodline. you'll look unto Jesus, and you're looking unto Jesus, and you quit looking around at this world has been crazy a long time. But Jesus is wonderful. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. You know what that means? It means putting Him up high and lifted. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Miss Sherry, if you'd come tonight, I'd appreciate it and play. I want us to gather around tonight. Some of you ladies can pray where you are, but I'd like to ask the men to come down, gather around this altar. And Brother Howard.